Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm sitting here on the day that the sun disappeared with my good friend, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Hi, Jimmy.
And I went in to eat while that was going on because I just didn't care. Now, my daughter sent me some pictures from Nashville. They had, I think, 25 or 30% or whatever, you know, and her pictures were cute. That was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I remember it as a little kid. I just didn't care this time around. Now, these people that spent thousands to go to, like, Fredericksburg, Texas, it rained. I mean, they blew all their money on all the different things. It rained at Ted's house.
I'm sorry.
They couldn't tell anything. So, I don't know. I don't know what I don't know.
I don't either. I think my only memory of an eclipse, minus, you know, radio stunts we pulled during the day where we gave away the glasses and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My only other memory is like when I was in fifth or sixth grade and I made some box with a pinhole in it.
Oh, I remember something like that too.
That's it. And I thought
there was, yeah. So let's change the subject before people just completely turn off. Cause I mean, I'm so sick of hearing about
that
stuff.
I am
too. I could die.
Fair.
You know, but we were talking, we're not going to do that today on this one where I want to talk about people's frustrations.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Okay.
I want to talk about frustration relievers. What do you do?
Ooh.
What can you do?
Ooh.
You know, like I did it this weekend. And
okay.
I'm having back issue that's a bulging disc.
Ouch.
That causes a pain to go down your leg.
Oof.
And so I have a hard time standing up for any long periods of time. Now, it's healed itself before, so I don't know. So I have to make do with what I got.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go to an air show. And I knew that it was going to require a lot of walking.
Yeah, it does.
So I went ahead and went to the air show, got a decent parking place, and where I could see the flight line and see where the planes were going to be without me having to leave my car.
Yeah, sure.
So I get there, and the Blue Angels are getting ready. I mean, I've taken some pictures already, but I'm using a very long lens, a 600 millimeter lens of a Nikon, which reaches out pretty far.
Okay.
But there's still, I need to be a little closer. And the light is bad. And I realized, oh my God, I'm at the absolute wrong way on the light. I need to be 180 degrees different than where I am.
Okay.
I need to be on this side shooting that way instead of the side that I'm on. So it starts and I have to leave after 4 hours of sitting in one spot. I have to leave to go hunt for a spot. And ultimately, I found one. It wasn't perfect, but I got, you know, some things that were certainly better than I would have gotten if I'd have stayed in my spot. But photography is one of those hobbies. If you can get into it, it's like anything else. You got to practice and, you know, and try to get better. And I've had a lifetime to work on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I don't think about anything else when I'm doing that.
I love that.
And there are very few things I don't think about pain.
Yeah.
I did think about pain a little bit because I had to go sit down during this whole process. But I don't think about any problems or just anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's why people, my father, I think he used to go fish. And while that just seemed terribly boring to me, he told me you had to be smart to be a fisherman.
I think that's legit. I mean,
I'm not smart. I have no patience for putting my hook out and trying to catch some defenseless fish. That is no reason to do that. And hunting, I used to do that, but when I was younger, and it suited me in my teens and 20s. But when I got a little older, I just decided I didn't want to kill things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I could kill bad things, but I just didn't want to routinely just go shoot a duck. I'd rather take pictures of them. So I got me a good camera, and I made it. That's one thing you do. You start out with this X camera with this much lens, and then you say, well, I got to have more and more and more and more and more. And you end up with this monster thing that I've got. And, but I just really love, you saw some of the pictures I took.
Oh man, let me just say, and I want to just real quick, direct people to, your website so that people can see some of the photos you've taken, because you have a site where you can actually download them and buy them or what have you. And they are fantastic, Jimmy. And people don't realize.
I need to put some of these on that Picfair site. You're right about that. I do need to put some of those. I'll do that. Maybe.
But yeah, I enjoyed. I mean, I couldn't be there. Going to an air show for me is one of the most fun things I've ever done. And I've only done
air shows.
I've only done it twice because I've only been near an air, I guess a base or whatever that would host something like that a couple times in my life. And one was in Spokane. And I'm sure they do something in the Boise area, but I'm not positive. I haven't been here long enough to know, but it was so exciting. But to go back and watch your pictures and even the short videos that you took, too.
Yeah, I did those with the iPhone, and that's really hard.
Those were good. Those were good.
It's hard to do. I mean, so it's challenging, mm-hmm. you know, to do photography. And then I see people, you know, who have better equipment than me and know more about what they're doing than I do.
Yeah.
And know more about the post-production elements than I do. And it just makes me want to die. I mean, it's kind of like getting up at the corner bar if you know how to sing some songs and you're okay maybe until you see the real person doing it and you say, oh, I don't ever want to open my mouth again. You know, I mean, it's these great photographers are just wow. You know,
you got to get together with a good friend of ours, and you know him, and he does photography too. And
he's good.
Ed Santos. Last time I checked,
Lord, I saw some of his stuff.
Yeah.
It made me cry. I mean, he was so good.
He is so good. He did some penguins in Antarctica or something that I just saw, and I just thought, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. But both of you guys, you guys need to get together and do something together. You'd have a good time doing it. But you're right, Jimmy, finding something like that when your mind is occupied with garbage all day and the stress of the world, and you know, I know everybody has different avenues to relieve that stress, but I think you hit on something super important, and that is you can't take your mind off anything but the photography when you're doing it. And I think that's key. Whatever it is that you do,
you got to focus on it, because you're changing settings and doing a lot of, you know, I'm dealing with planes that are flying at 400 500 miles an hour. Yeah. First of all, though, that's moving pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
I'm dealing with a sky that's ever changing, mm-hmm. depending on how high they're flying in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So that's a lot going on with that. And you're just dealing with the focus. Focus is huge.
Yeah.
To try to make sure you're getting the right focus. And if things moving 500 miles an hour in the light and all that. So it's an experiment every time you shoot. And you really don't know what you get until you get back home.
Yeah.
And so you just have to think, okay, this formula, because you're not shooting automatic.
Mm-hmm.
You're shooting some sort of manual, and you just hope you get what you get.
That's where I think the real art comes from, not with an app on an iPhone, but the art of catching something you didn't realize that you're catching. I got to ask you, is it all digital what you're doing now? I mean, is it all
100%? I had to quit photography. I mean, I couldn't afford to be. I've always thought I had a knack for it.
Yeah.
But when it was film, I mean, I didn't have any money to go process.
Oh, it was expensive. Yeah, that's an expensive hobby. Yeah.
And then I remember they invented something called slides, mm-hmm. Ektachrome or whatever, some kind of slide. There in the 60s or 70s.
I remember that.
And so I took had like little pocket cameras, and I got the stuff back on slides,
mm-hmm.
some prints, some slides, but you really couldn't afford to. And then I never had a lens, you know, because most things that you go shoot, whether it's an air show or whether it's, I love to shoot birds of prey,
mm-hmm.
so hawks, eagles, owls, things like that. And, you know, it's just they're a long way away from you.
Yeah, yeah. You
then you have to have a lens that lets you get low light, because it always seems like it's something that, you know, that's dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just so many aspects of it that it is a little overwhelming, you know, when you first. But it takes, if you do it over a lifetime or over a long period of time, it just gets better, and it's so rewarding when you get a good picture.
Yeah,
there's just something about it. It gets rewarding when you get a good picture. I'm trying to look up the shows for the Blue Angels and see if there's anything coming near you.
Yeah, I would love to go see
it. I tell you what would be great. I would love to see this. October 12th through 13th is the Fleet Week in San Francisco.
Always wanted to go.
Oh man,
that
would be something. And then Reno. The national air races. Never been to that, but that's kind of in your part of the world.
Yeah, I could make that.
October 5 and 6.
That's 8 hours, 7 hours from me. I could make that for
a
weekend.
That's their schedule this year. I'm going to look at the Thunderbirds real quick, because they're good too. They fly a little bit smaller plane, the F-16.
That's what I saw at in Spokane was the Thunderbirds and the F-16s. And I was surprised. You say it's a little smaller. I was surprised at how small and mighty, but small that plane was. It was one on the ground, and we were able to walk around it and actually see the plane. And
it's pretty little.
It
yeah.
is little. It's like a dart. You know, I mean, it's very
small.
The
F-18 is nice size.
It's a little bigger.
It's called the Super Hornet, and it's pretty big. But it's just interesting. It's just so, I don't know. I like everything about it, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just fun. But
you
trying to get
thought
something
about that? Getting your pilot's license? I mean, I know as
no, because I'm colorblind. I found that out in the 10th grade.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the 10th grade, I found out. Not completely colorblind,
yeah.
but colorblind enough.
Yeah.
And that's ugly. You know, you can't. Pass. You got to be. And plus, I don't even like to get turned upside down at the fair.
But haven't you gone in the planes? You've done them, right?
I have flown in every kind of contraption of a plane except for a fighter plane.
Yeah.
And a balloon. Those are the two things I've never
like
been in.
I don't like the balloon.
But I've flown a Tornado, which is a British fighter plane simulator, and I got nauseous flying that because it's so. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like a ride at the fair.
I can't imagine. I drove go-karts the other day. My son and I went, and we drove electric go-karts. It's supposed to simulate like an F1 race. And they're very fast, and they're very fun. But I did about 3 laps, and I thought I was going to vomit. And that's hardly any G's. If I got in a plane, I would puke all over the place. I'm sure of it.
Oh, me too. There were people, some girl I watched in Montgomery. Every town they go to, they pick a news person.
Yeah.
Somehow,
yeah,
to go fly with them, you know, some up. And this girl, she went in there. She, no matter what the pilot did, she just giggled and laughed and just more.
Yeah,
I was just saying, oh my God, this woman, she should join the Air Force. I mean, really, it was so easy for her to do.
Wow, that's
crazy. There's some. I don't see any Idaho schedules this year.
Yeah, see what
there's
I mean?
Utah.
Yeah.
Hill Air Force Base, Utah.
That's not
Salt
bad.
Salt Lake Warriors over the something other air show.
I could do that. That's four and a half, 5 hours. That's not bad.
Yeah, there's things within 4 hours of
yeah,
you, but nothing.
I could do that. I could do that.
But anyway, it's just trying to find, you know, golf to me, tried that. You golf.
Yes, I do. I golf a lot, and I love it. It does take my mind off of what I'm doing. I've started doing lately, and you might like this. I'll send you a video of one of the trails that I've started. I mountain bike a lot, but I've never videoed or shot footage of it. And I got a mount for my bike now with a little shock absorber on it where I can shoot the trail while I ride it. And so I've been doing that, and I've put a few up on Facebook and Instagram and things like that. But it's really fun. We've been going, my son and I go about twice a week, and sometimes we just ride a crazy mountain trail, and then sometimes we'll ride, you know, a trail with jumps on it and stuff like that. But you have to concentrate the whole time, or else you'll make a mistake, and that will make you pay.
Are there ever any woolly boogers up there?
I've been chased. I've run into a bear before, sitting right in the middle of the trail as I was doing 30
what
miles
kind?
An hour. Just a brown bear, or a black bear, not a
big
grizzly.
Fat one, or
yeah, it was a good size.
Not a big one.
I was booking along, and I just kind of swerved out of the way and went down the hill and cut over the road as fast as I could, and I've been chased by a moose. Which, if you don't know, moose, they're pretty
moose
much...
are bigger than horses.
Yeah, and they're pretty much blind. They don't see very well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they'll chase you till they think that you're not a menace anymore or not a threat. And so I've been chased by a moose, and I had to hide behind a rock. And I just stayed still until he lost interest and walked away. Never had a mountain lion issue, but I've heard about it, and that makes me think a little bit. But
I think you don't want to know. I mean, I think if you saw one, it'd be too late.
Yeah, probably. I don't think you. They tend to go for the back of your neck, so you know, riding. I think you'd be gone before you knew what happened.
Yeah.
I wear a high backpack and a low helmet, and I hope that they miss if they're.
You know, driving used to be kind of a getaway. Maybe it still is to some degree.
I guess it depends where you're going.
Usually driving, you know, unless it's too much, you know, is kind of a relaxation.
I like that, too.
A little bit.
I do
like
that.
But I used to be not as much. I used to really like it, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, I mean.
I'll do it, but it's not like it once was where I really enjoyed just getting behind the wheel and going. I don't really. I just kind of want to get it over with now.
Well, I think some of the problem with that now is traffic, and it used to be DUI was a big problem, people not paying attention, and now you have the cell phone. So it's a little more nerve-wracking, yeah. I think. Maybe if you get out in the country and, you know, you take a two-lane somewhere where you go in to see something. I like that. I still like a motorcycle ride.
Yeah, I do like
ride.
That now. I did that the other day. Went on a U.S. highway instead of the interstate for a little while.
Yeah, there you go.
And
yeah.
thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah.
You know, that was because it just – I get bored. The interstates are boring.
Now, do you play any instruments or anything like that would take you away? And my wife does that.
I used to have a music room, but
yeah.
not in the last number of years. I mean, I've got guitars over there I hadn't touched in forever.
I'm the same. I got the same thing.
I used to get in the mood to do it. You know, but it's kind of like the thing about photography. I mean, golf, I gave away my golf clubs because I just said, you know, it's just too much of an ordeal to go play golf.
It is frustrating. It can be frustrating, too.
It's a lot to do, and even unless you really got the system down of what you're going to do and all that. So it just, to me, it was more trouble than it was worth.
Yeah.
And then also, when you suck, there's nothing fun about doing something that you suck.
That's true.
You know?
That is true. I mean, you're right.
And I just, you know, I remember I used to go out and play golf with friends, and some of it I did was okay, but I needed lessons and I needed practice.
Yeah.
And you just can't just go out there and do it, you know. And
that's true. That is true.
And nothing greater than hitting a golf ball really good.
Yeah.
You know, it feels good when you hit one right. And then you get up there and you slam it around, you know, 20 times to get into the hole because you just aren't with the crap, you know. And that's just not fun. I don't like to go somewhere and just suck.
I got a new one for you. If you're willing to get a little active, and when I say a little active, I don't mean running crazy, just a little active. I tried it last Friday night. My daughter invited me to play. She's in her 20s, and she said, you want to play pickleball?
Oh.
And I said, yeah, I'll try it. I mean, do you have the stuff? And she had the paddle and the balls, and we played indoors, and it was air-conditioned, and it was heated, and it was nice, Jimmy, and it wasn't hard. It was like, I don't know, ping pong, somewhere in between ping pong and tennis. But if you've never played, you don't have to be good. You just have to be average, and you can have a great time.
The chances of doing that would be as much as me being able to fly around the room at this point. But I remember I used to like to play, and I haven't been around anybody that wanted to play in a couple of years. I used to enjoy playing games.
Yeah, I still
do. There
it.
Was a thing called Rummy or something, and was a couple of games with dominoes and some choo-choo thing. I don't know what the names of this stuff even was, but those were fun. And I used to like playing Monopoly with people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we did that a lot as a kid, and even as an adult to some degree. And I even played with my granddaughter. We did one time we played Life.
I remember that game.
She didn't like losing those. I've got a little one that granddaughter does not like losing, and she got in a real bad mood. You got to be willing to lose.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Some people can't lose.
You're right. A game will take you away. We played for a long time. My wife and I have always played, and it's a standing joke in our family that I cannot be beat at Scrabble, which is an old game. That's an old, old game.
Yep.
But still fun. It is still fun.
See, I can't play games. My mind is not right, and I can't play Wheel of Fortune, for example.
Oh, it doesn't. I can't.
I'm terrible at Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I'm not very good.
Terrible. I mean, sometimes I can get something.
Yeah.
You know, if it's. But generally speaking, no. And I don't get a lot of enjoyment watching Jeopardy. I'll watch it a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
And I usually know one or two weird ones. I mean, I probably get 10 or 20%, maybe 10% of all the answers on a given day. Mostly not.
Yeah, it's hard.
Saying, anybody know this?
Yeah.
How would anyone know this?
There's a guy that I worked with who was actually on the show who wants to be a millionaire, which seemed like that was a little easier than Jeopardy. I don't know that it was easy.
Yeah, that was tricky because they would give you an easy, easy question.
And lull you in.
And let you climb it up. And then
they'd
give you something that was, wow, I mean, you know, really
obscure. And yeah.
The
answer
was either 6 or 7 out of, you know.
Yeah.
And there's some luck involved picking the right one.
Yeah.
And, that was, I enjoyed that game a lot. I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
And I even enjoyed Deal or No Deal. That was kind of a fun game.
Yeah.
I still enjoy The Price is Right.
Yeah, I do too.
I love The Price is Right. Now, there's some people, It's just how everybody is so different in this world today.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get together five people in my family or even my circle of people.
Yeah.
That could all agree on probably watching anything than a sporting event.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Like The Price is Right or, I've gotten to where now I cannot watch. And this is bad for my business, but
yeah.
I cannot watch a network television show in real time. I cannot watch a movie on TBS or TNT or AMC.
Why? Any of those because things. Of the ads?
Because of commercials. I cannot watch 4 minutes of a movie, yeah. 4.5 minutes of commercials, five yeah. minutes of movie, 4 minutes of commercials. I cannot do that.
Well,
don't want to do it. Can't stand it. It's not good for me. They've got to come up with something different because that model really has left the building.
But you're going to watch. Now today when we're recording this tonight, by the end of, by the time you hear this, maybe some of you, the national title for men's NCAA basketball.
I'm not watching that.
You're not? I was going to say it.
No, I could care less.
Now,
I cared about the eclipse about as much as I cared about that. Which, I don't care. I don't have this dog to hunt with UConn and Purdue.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest in those games.
Fascinating.
If they don't even play it, it's okay. I just don't have any interest in that.
If Bama was in it, if Alabama was in it, would you?
I watched
would
the
you
other
watch
night
it?
When they were in it. I didn't expect them to win.
Yeah.
And I would leave and come back and leave and come back because it was very stressful.
Yeah.
And I think they ought to be very proud of themselves for doing
yeah,
what they did at least
well.
Did.
Yeah, they did well.
You know, considering they never been to the dance before and all that stuff. But,
yeah, yeah. But can you stomach a live sporting event with commercials? Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Yep. I could probably I can watch. Yes.
Okay. So there's something
because
about
I take that time to go to the bathroom or
yeah, I do.
I need the break.
I do.
I know I'm not going to miss anything.
But
with a story type thing. It's just I can't do it. I'd much rather watch it with no commercials.
Well, it's a waste of time. I mean, let's be honest. If you got a movie that's 2 hours long, it's going to take 3 hours if you're watching it on TBS. By the time they put all those commercials in.
You got to be insane to watch something like that. I can't imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I was in prison, I wouldn't want to watch anything like that. I mean, really. And then
I get it.
Awful. Awful.
You would hate what I did in my house then. I took my TV. I got my Amazon. I got my Apple TV. I got Netflix. I got all that. But for my regular live TV now, you know what I have? Antenna. That is so old school, and it's so bad. It's so bad. I mean,
see, I pulled away from the earth about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I started watching at least 2 weeks ago, maybe longer now.
Yeah.
Watching episodes of SWAT.
Oh yeah, you've left the building. You have.
And
left
I've been watching this now a couple episodes a day for weeks.
You still haven't weaned yourself off that.
I'm still going. I mean, I'm still moving along.
That's what you get when there's nothing on. I mean, that's what you get.
But I mean, there are other shows. I want to watch the Steve Martin documentary on Apple.
Got to.
I want to watch. There's a bunch of stuff I want to see.
Yeah.
But I just keep going back. I watched some movie. It was. Let me warn people on this one. Netflix.
Yeah.
Scoop.
Terrible.
It's a new movie. It's it's about the Prince Andrew and his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't watch it, but I saw it.
Don't watch it. It's a waste of time.
Okay.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It's about Newsnight, BBC News program, trying to get the scoop and get the interview with Prince Andrew, and they ultimately do. And
that's the story.
And then that's it. So what? He didn't learn anything. I don't care. That was a major, major waste of time.
You will like the Steve Martin. You will like the Steve. It's a two.
Yeah, I would because I've had. He's a difficult interview.
Oh,
in a lot of ways.
They talk about. I mean, for those that don't know, Jimmy has interviewed all these people. You've had all these people as guests on your show and things like that. Television. We've got it now on the Podcast Vault episode. You can go back and watch the Three Amigos interview. And it is, I would say it would have fit into this documentary perfectly. When you watch it, he talks about the Three Amigos. They go back and they bring pictures and the story of Martin Short, who's very young at the time. If you go back, he's a young buck. He's just starting out. And Chevy Chase and Steve Martin have invited him to be on this in this comedy. And it gets into Steve Martin, all the movies that he wrote, his struggles as a stand-up comedian who he wasn't recognized for 10, 15 years. They thought he was terrible. And one thing changed it. I won't spoil it for you, but one thing changed his whole trajectory, and he became the superstar that he is today. And
oh, I mean, I loved him.
It's like
he was this wild and crazy guy, and he's not that wild and crazy guy anymore.
Yes, yeah, he actually
I once was.
He actually,
but you grow, you change.
When you watch the special, and I did not know this. I mean, I always thought he was just wacky and crazy and all that. He studied in school how to present comedy in a unique way that would have people coming back for more. And he said there was always a payoff to give people the punchline. You would say the joke and then you'd hit them with the punchline. And he started a new form of comedy where he didn't give you really the punchline. He just started the joke and left it out there. And he talks about it. So go see it. And for everybody listening,
it's on Apple TV,
I think,
right?
It's good.
No, I definitely want to see that.
I liked it.
And there are other things I want to see, but I'm hooked on SWAT right now.
I care about
Hondo and all this stuff.
I remember Hondo.
So
when you think about all the stuff that's going on in the world, right?
I just have to check out. I'm sorry.
Okay, so
I'm really sick about them. And there's so many things in we're having to be careful of it on here because I could just tell you every day I've had some bad service issue at a fast food place.
Yeah, boy.
I ordered an Arby's super and they give me something with cheese and it was the nastiest stuff. I threw it in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
Went to McDonald's today for breakfast because I don't drink coffee. I drink a Coke.
Yep.
They're out of ice. They don't have any ice. The water line broke. The other day they just didn't have any Cokes at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just something's wrong all the time with these places, or the service is terrible, or they get the order wrong.
Yeah,
or
I've experienced that.
I just don't understand what's going on, you know, with our country. And it's just the service industry is in major trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why all of a sudden it is. I mean, if anything, their jobs are easier, you know, because of computers and stuff. But it's just the service and the attitude. And, you know,
that's it. You just said it.
Everything.
When you said the attitude, I think that's how I'm kind of feeling. And I can appreciate an episode like today's in what do we do to distract ourselves? Not that we need to always be distracted, but sometimes you got to get your mind off stuff.
Yeah.
You do. You have to walk
away. You don't need to be drinking or drinking. I know a lot of people who spend far too much time doing that. And that's not a good place to go. I mean,
I don't think it's good
for you in any way. And I'm glad I didn't. I mean, there were so many drunks in the radio business when I got into the business. I've been so many drinkers and smokers.
Mm-hmm.
Drinkers and smokers. And I said, I don't want to be either one of these people.
That's interesting. I mean, you're right about that. I'll even go further, and not that alcohol is not a drug, but even drugs too. I mean, in the industry, in the entertainment industry as a whole, and I would throw, you know, radio, television, movie, all that into the same, you know, pot, and say that whole.
But everybody deals with pressure and deals with
with
success. I mean, just as we write this Morgan Wallen young man, who is. You know, didn't have a pot to pee in, and all of a sudden he's a millionaire because of all of his success. And just this past weekend, he did 2 sold-out nights in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the gross on those 2 nights was $8 or $10 million.
Unreal.
Okay, yeah,
unreal.
And I'm sure he walked away with at least $1 million. But he better have.
Yeah.
You know, even after taxes and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
But he goes up top of Eric Church's nightclub on Sunday night when he gets back to Nashville, and he throws a chair off of it for whatever reason. And the chair went down 6 floors and hit the ground near where some cops were walking. So he got arrested. Three felony counts or something like that of reckless endangerment plus disorderly conduct. Now, in his $15,000 bond or whatever, okay, he'll... Something will happen to him one way or the other, and in May when he has a court hearing. But if he'd have hit somebody,
can you imagine what would have happened?
If he'd have killed somebody,
he
would have been canceled.
Yes.
It would have been over for him.
That
would have been millions and millions and millions of dollars out the window for hundreds of people.
Right.
Because the crew, the promoters,
all these people
that have money
truck
in the game, truck drivers and everything else. It's just, he's 30 years old, and I've been a cheerleader for him during a lot of this stuff, but man, he needs to get his act together real bad.
I would agree with that, Jimmy. He's had one, two, three chances, right? He's had all that.
But, you know, he's not being served well by his people that are around him. He's got a bunch of yes-men suck buddies instead of, you know, having somebody. He needs a security person that somebody that he respects has appointed that keeps people from him, keeps him safe, and keeps him safe from himself.
I would agree, and I would say that overall, I would think that that behavior in a 20 to 30 something year old bazillionaire, you're going to see that duplicate. Look at Justin Bieber. Remember the whole egging of the house incident and stuff like that? Just out of control because immaturity and a lot of money. You could do whatever you want. You there's no limit.
Well, I mean, you see, there's a kid that was a great Alabama football player. His name escapes me. It's not important, but he got on with the Los Angeles Raiders, except Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
And he was one of their, I mean, he just got out there, bought him some high-speed car, went to some club, you know, and at 1 in the morning was driving out there in Vegas somewhere at 120, 30 miles an hour and hit somebody, killed some people.
Oh, my God.
He's in prison the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was just stupid with his money. You know, I mean, somebody, Shakespeare, somebody said it. My father used to tell it to me all the time. The quote, "A fool and his money are soon parted."
What a great way to end today's podcast. Think about that a little bit.
A fool and his money are soon parted. And that says it for a lot of these instant, you know, NIL millionaires that are in college sports, these college football, these pro people that have all this money. They've gone from poverty to richness, and most people can't handle that.
Wow.
It's like lottery winners. They can't handle it. They can't handle being a normal person and then being able to, wherever you want to go, anytime you want to go, anything you want.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes them crazy.
Man. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. Until next week when it'll get even better, I'm Derek Walker. He is
Jimmy Carter.
Good day.
Good day.